Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
With the evening news on Highland Radio, I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at the headlines. SIP2 members working as healthcare assistants in the HSE Home Support Service across Donegal have voted overwhelmingly for strike action. Pressures continue to rise on the health service here. Criticisms are raised as the EU Commission President plans to sign the Mercosur deal in South America, and there is no timeline on when running water services will return on Gola Island. These stories in full and more coming up, and Oisin Kelly will be here for a full sports update at around 6:15. But first, SIP2 members working as healthcare assistants in the HSE Home Support Service across Donegal, Clare, Cork, Kerry and Limerick have voted overwhelmingly for strike action. This is in relation to a dispute which they say arises from their employer's failure to honour national agreements on terms and conditions. The ballot, counted today at Liberty Hall in Dublin, delivered a 95% mandate for industrial action, up to and including strike action. SIP2 organiser Kieran Sheridan said that the failure of the HSE to honour agreed improvements in HCA's terms and conditions has negatively impacted services to the detriment of workers and the clients they care for. The INMO says the HSE must confirm that it is taking all steps to ensure that the provision of safe emergency care is currently the priority in the system. It comes as the number of patients without beds at Irish hospitals hit over 750 this morning, 91 of them in the northwest. Pressures on Letterkenny University Hospital over the past week has prompted a statement advising people the emergency department is currently extremely busy. With more, here's Donal Kavanagh.
University Hospital Limerick accounted for the largest number of patients awaiting beds this morning with 125, followed by University Hospital Galway with 75. There were 47 patients awaiting beds in Letterkenny, 17 of them on emergency department trolleys. There were 44 in Sligo. That's a northwest total of 91. In a statement today, Letterkenny University Hospital says the emergency department remains extremely busy with high numbers of people attending that need to be admitted for ongoing treatment. Last week, LUH had 1,089 attendances at ED, with over half of those self-referring. Management at the hospital continued to ask people only to attend the ED if it's an emergency situation. For non-urgent conditions, they're asked to attend their GP in the first instance and to consider all care options. The hospital is advising that patients who attend the ED for routine and non-urgent treatment will experience very long waiting times, as those patients who are more acutely unwell will be seen first.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen plans to travel to South America this week to sign the EU-Mercosur trade deal. The move is prompting fresh criticism amid claims the agreement is being pushed ahead before a vote in the European Parliament. A petition signed by more than 30,000 people opposing Mercosur is being delivered following a major protest in Athlone on Saturday, attended by hundreds of farmers in Donegal. Independent Ireland MEP Kieran Mullooly says there are serious public health concerns about the deal.
I think the message is very clear from Saturday's outstanding attendance at the public meeting. The people of Ireland, and that includes as many people in Dunleary as it does in Dundalk, or as many people in Tala as you have in Tullamore, they're concerned about public health, first and foremostly. And then secondly, they're concerned about the effect on the Irish economy. We have to ensure, first and foremostly, food is coming in, is safe to eat, and that we do not have illegal and carcinogenic growth promoters being used. We are in favour of trade and exporting. I think we should move forward by suspending that element of the trade agreement. Suspend the sale of all meat from South America.
There is no timeline on when running water services will return to Gola Island. Residents of the island have been without the facilities after there was damage to an undersea pipeline during July 2025. Councillor John Hamish O'Farrey has shared an update he received from Ishke Erin.
6 months on, and there's still no indication of when the water supply will be returned to the islanders. Like I said, this is ongoing for the last 6 months. As you recall, the pipe that was there for a number of years was taken away, and there was no new pipe installed. At the moment, the islanders are looking for a new pipe, but and myself and my colleague Peter Doherty have raised this issue at government level and also with Ishkeiran, and to date there is nothing in the pipeline for Gola Island.
Donegal County Council have said an emergency road closure will be in place from Quigley's Point to Mayville from 6pm to 9pm this evening. Tributes have been paid in the Northern Ireland Assembly this afternoon to Joe Byrne and Mary Bradley, two former MLAs who passed away the week after Christmas. Both members of the SDLP, Joe Byrne represented West Tyrone and Mary Bradley represented Foyle. Speaker Edwin Putt said both had made a lasting and important contribution to the politics in Northern Ireland.
Members will also be saddened to learn of the passing of two of our former members, both who died on the Tuesday the 30th of December. So I'm sad to announce that both Joe Byrne and Mary Bradley, MLAs for West Tyrone and Foyle, sadly passed away. I would like to take take this opportunity to express my personal sympathies to Liam and the family, and Aoife and the family, on the loss of their husband and wife, respectively. I knew Joe particularly well out of the two of them, and Joe was a very, very pleasant guy and a nice guy to know, and a lot of respect and time for him, as I did have for Mrs. Bradley, who served from right up to 2011, from 2003. And Mary was a real community person in the city of Londonderry, and done her work very, very well. It was very well respected both locally and indeed in this chamber. And the loss of these two members are very, very significant loss for the SDLP, and I express my sympathies to them as a party, but specifically to their families. And I just wish to pay my own tribute.
The manager of the local youth and family service says there is no way they could have complied with a request that a sizeable financial donation only be used to support Irish families. In a statement on social media at the weekend, LYFS says such an ultimatum directly contradicts their ethos. On today's Greg Hughes show, Gary Glennon said people have asked why they didn't just accept the money and use it in the specified way without saying anything. However, he said they felt they had to be upfront and honest.
In our work, you know, honesty is the forefront of what we do. That trust that people have in us as an organisation, you know, we're definitely going to jeopardise that for the sake of a few hundred pounds from someone who has other reasons for their donation. Poverty and hunger, it doesn't discriminate. So why should we? What we did was the right thing to do. We're not going to accept that. And why don't think anybody should accept that? You know, and there has been comments, Greg, you've probably seen them. The people have said, you know, why didn't you just take it and use it for Irish families only? Can you imagine, we have an open door service both in Letterkenny and Guidoa. Can you imagine a family came in, you know, and they're not from this country, and they say, can you know, get me some nappies or some baby formula and stuff? And we say, actually, we can't. And then somebody then who is, you know, from an Irish, you know, family come in and say, yeah, can I get it? Go, yes, you can. Could I lie in my bed straight at night, you know, knowing that I did that? You know, regardless of, you know, what the policy and procedures of any organisation might say, we just don't do those things.
Women across Donegal are being urged to consider political leadership and representation. Donegal County Council remains the most gender-imbalanced local authority in the country, with just three women among 37 councillors. See Her Elected has launched its election workshop series today, with the first focusing on motivation and helping participants begin building a strong and authentic candidate profile. The workshops are free, held online and run once a month until June. Councillor Joy Beard says she used the service before she ran for election in 2024.
I took the course you can do online, and you know, it gives you all the aspects of actually from campaigning through to what a local councillor does. You know, and what's expected of you, and I found it extremely helpful. It was easily understood, put in layman's terms, and I would encourage anyone that maybe is thinking about, you know, going into local politics in any way to take it on, because it does give you a better insight into local politics.
You're one of three female representatives on Donegal County Council. You make up less than 10% of the council's overall representation. Percentage-wise, it's the worst in the country, and that really must change, mustn't it?
It really must. It's a sad statistic that you've just mentioned, that women make up only, I think it's just over 8% of the council. We've only three women councillors out of 37, and I think that's a stark imbalance. You know, women do bring a different perspective, and we often approach problems differently. I'm sure everybody will agree to that. You know, but they come up with different ideas and solutions. And I think that diversity and thinking doesn't weaken any, you know, decision making. It actually strengthens it. So I would encourage more women across Donegal, if they are thinking of getting involved in politics or running in the next local election, to see her elected in the course that they've started. You know, it's something that they look into, because, you know, it's very important that we are represented in local council, especially. You know, over the half the population here is female, and it's only right that we are represented in the council chamber.
Northern Ireland's First Minister is heading out at Elon Musk's X after misuse of the platform's AI tool, Grok. It comes as the UK's media watchdog has launched a formal investigation over concerns the bot is being used to create sexualised imagery of women and children. Ofcom says it's going to look into whether the social media platform's doing enough to prevent people from seeing the illegal content. The North's First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, is strongly critical of how Grok is being used.
I think there's no world where this type of content should ever be allowed to be created. So I think it's absolutely abhorrent what we've seen being the product of social media platforms.
Meanwhile, East Derry MLA at Stormont, Cara Hunter, has taken the decision to leave the platform in recent days. She has previously been a victim of deepfakes and was once targeted by a false pornographic video.
I think that a lot of political parties, a lot of organisations, NGOs will be essentially looking at how they use X moving forward. Other platforms have better safeguard mechanisms, I would argue. TikTok in particular, I have found anything it's reported is taken down relatively quickly.
The price of the average second-hand three-bed semi in County Donegal rose to €207,500 last year, up 15.3% from €180,000 at the end of 2024, according to a national survey by Real Estate Alliance. The survey shows that across the county this quarter, 33% of purchasers were first-time buyers, while a total of 18% of sales in the county were attributed to landlords leaving the market. Average Bundoran prices rose almost 8% last year. Prices in Milford increased by just over 24%. Bundoran estate agent Roger McCarrick believes the rest of the county is playing catch-up.
Every market is peculiar to its own area. The market in Bundoran is affected hugely by the people buying from Northern Ireland and from abroad because of its seaside location and the peculiar attractions that there are in Bundoran. I have seen over the last 10 years in Bundoran that there has always been a strong demand there. And I would say that other more rural and regional areas such as Milford and Central Donegal or North Donegal, they may be playing a bit of catch-up. On the national scene, if you look at the property values in Dublin, they have gone up an awful lot less in 2025 than the Connacht Ulster increases, because Connacht Ulster are playing catch-up on the national scale. And likewise, I would say that regional areas of Donegal are playing catch-up on Bundoran.
In terms of the Bundoran market, how much of the house purchasing in Bundoran is for residential homes in which people intend to live? How much is for holiday homes and how much is for letting?
Well, I suppose it's hard to put an exact figure on that, but the holiday home market would always be a significant factor in the Bundoran area. Of houses that I've sold in Bundoran over the last 10 years, I'd imagine that probably a quarter of them are still holiday homes that are being purchased by people that have been coming to Bundoran for many years. They might be now buying a holiday home, maybe possibly with a view to retiring. There's a very strong demand. Very little new houses being built in Bundoran. So you're dealing with the limited supply of second-hand houses that were built 20, 25, 30 years ago.
It is 17 minutes to 6 here on Highland Radio. Oisin Kelly will be here for Sport Update after these. It is 14 minutes to 6 on Highland Radio and Oisin Kelly is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. We start with cross-channel football. Liverpool manager Arnaud Slot says he'll be putting out a strong team against Barnsley tonight to avoid more FA Cup embarrassment. Liverpool were knocked out by Plymouth in the fourth round of the competition last season. Slot says their situation is different now.
I'm not sure, because we all know in FA Cup or in cup competitions things can happen. But you cannot compare Plymouth away with the players we played back then to Barnsley at home.
Former Ireland international Conor Hourihan takes his Barnsley team to Anfield, with the visitors currently sitting 17th in the League One table. He wants his players to bring some confidence into the tie tonight.
I really want the lads to really maximise the opportunity that's there and you know, express themselves. And at times when we're on the ball, can we play with that courage and play the way that we want to play? But know that we'll suffer and have to sit in a block at times, and you know, accept that as well. So yeah, look, we'll have a game plan in place, of course. And I'm really hoping that the lads do themselves justice on the night, because that's what it's all about.
That one kicks off at 7:45. Manchester United are close to appointing Michael Carrick as their caretaker head coach until the end of the season. Talks are continuing with the Champions League winning midfielder, with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer also in contention. United are expected to wait until the summer to put Ruben Amorim's permanent successor in place. Up in Scotland, Motherwell's Jens Berthel Askew has been named the Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month for December. The Fir Park side picked up 11 out of a possible 18 points, including a 2-0 win over Celtic. Motherwell are fourth in the table, 4 points behind Celtic, who have played a game less. On to Italy, and Roma head coach Gian Piero Gasperini has played down concerns that Evan Ferguson could miss the Republic of Ireland's World Cup qualifier in March. The striker picked up the back injury in a win for the side on Saturday. The Roma boss says the issue is a serious bruise and he will sit out the Coppa Italian clash with Torino, but he should be back next week. In Gaelic games, Donegal are through to the semi-finals of the Dr. McKenna Cup and will face Derry on Wednesday evening at Celtic Park. That's a game that will be live here in Highland. The other semi-final is Monaghan up against Tyrone and Inishkeen. Both games will start at 7:30. Donegal, of course, progressed to the last four with a victory over Antrim yesterday, where Jim McGuinness, the Donegal manager, had a handful of young players making their senior debuts for the county. One man that is not involved this year is Patrick McBerty, who retired, of course, in recent weeks. Jim McGuinness says that the injuries just caught up with the Donegal captain.
Paddy, like, geez, he's been just immense for Donegal, and we wish him well in his retirement. It's unfortunate, and we communicated a lot in the off-season, you know, when we tried to do as much as we could, I suppose, to see, we took it to the nth, you know, to see could we find a solution for him. But, you know, really, it's just a medical decision in many respects, and it's disappointing, because I would say I would have loved to have given it another rattle, you know, but these things happen in football, I suppose. I suppose when you take a step back from that and think about what he did achieve and how young he was going in there and the number of games, it's going to take its toll at some stage. And you know, he probably is the most decorated player in the county, so he got a good innings, but he probably would have loved to had one more go at it.
And there is, of course, more from Jim McGuinness available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. The snooker, Mark Allen, is through to the quarterfinals of the Masters. The Ulster man beat Mark Williams this afternoon 6-2 to reach the last eight. In rugby, Dorothy Wall and Erin King are back in the Ireland women's squad for their upcoming pre-Six Nations training camp. King missed the World Cup last summer through injury, and Wall underwent knee surgery last April. Any show native Steve McGrath is included in the 37-player panel. Harry Cobden says it's a massive opportunity to become the number one jockey for owner JP McManus next season. It'll see the Paul Nicholas stable rider and the 2024 British champion jockey work for McManus on either side of the Irish Sea from the month of May. Finally, back to football and some school results from today. In the Breed Carr Senior Girls Ulster Final for under 20 large schools, there was victory for Loretto Community School of Milford as they defeated Loretto Secondary School of Letterkenny by 4-0. Pubble Skull Gwydor were also winners today as they defeated College de Alley by 7-2. That was in the Senior B Boys Ulster Final for under 19 small schools. And in the Donegal Junior Under 17 League Final, St Eunan's College of Letterkenny beat Ross's Community School by 4-1. And that's your sport for today. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Oisin. And the weather tonight will be cloudy with scattered showers merging into longer spells of rain overnight, turning heavy at times. Lowest temperatures of 1 to 4 degrees. Tomorrow morning will start cloudy and wet. The rain will gradually clear eastwards during the morning and will be followed by sunny spells and isolated showers. Highest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees. A look back at this evening's main stories. SIP2 members working as healthcare assistants in the HSE Home Support Service across Donegal, Clare, Cork, Kerry and Limerick have voted overwhelmingly for strike action. This is in relation to a dispute which they say arises from their employer's failure to honour national agreements on terms and conditions. The ballot counted today at Liberty Hall in Dublin delivered a 95% mandate for industrial action up to and including strike action. SIPTU organiser Kieran Sheridan said that the failure of the HSE to honour agreed improvements in HCA's terms and conditions has negatively impacted services to the detriment of workers and the clients they care for. The INMO says the HSE must confirm that it is taking all steps to ensure that the provision of safe emergency care is currently the priority in the system. It comes as a number of patients without beds in Irish hospitals hit over 750 this morning, 91 of them in the northwest. Pressures on Letterkenny University Hospital over the past week prompted a statement advising people the emergency department is currently extremely busy. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen plans to travel to South America this week to sign the EU-Mercosur trade deal. The move is prompting fresh criticism amid claims the agreement is being pushed ahead before a vote in the European Parliament. A petition signed by more than 30,000 people opposing Mercosur is being delivered following a major protest in Athlone on Saturday, attended by hundreds of farmers from Donegal. And there is no timeline to restore running water facilities on Gola Island. The residents have been without the service since July last year, when an undersea pipeline was damaged. The alternative supply of water on the island is a tanker that residents can avail of. That is all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with another news update at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices this Monday evening, January the 12th. The death has taken place of Mary Rose McGonigal, née Dunn, late of 4, Woodend Park, Derry Road, Strabane, reposing at her late home, wake commencing at 7 p.m. today. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral on Wednesday, leaving her home at 10:20 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, in lieu to Western Health and Social Care Trust, Ward 26, Alton Galvin, care of McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Mary O'Brien, née Ward, Trine Duff, Bohalla, County Mayo, and formerly of Laguna Ardra, reposing at the Sheridan Memorial Community Centre, Bohalla, on Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Funeral Mass in the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, on Thursday at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on MCN Live. The death has occurred of Dan McFeely, St. Columkill Village, Clonmany, and late of Carol Mina. Dan's remains will leave Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Home this evening at 7 p.m, going to the home of his late sister Mary McGonigal, Carol Mina, where you're all welcome to pay your respects. Funeral from there on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Ballinacray, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to St. Columkill Village, Clonmany, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of John Coyle, Main Street, Newton Cunningham. House is private to family and friends. Cortege leaving his residence on Wednesday at 10:40 a.m. going to All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed online via the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Patricia Boner, Nate Doherty, Town Parks Convoy, formerly of Ballyholy Raffoe. Reposing at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, until 8 p.m. this evening, with rosary at 7:45 p.m. Removal from there tomorrow evening at 6 p.m, going to St. Union's Church Raffoe to repose overnight. Funeral there on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m, which can be viewed on the parish webcam, with interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Friends of Letterkenny Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Patsy Henderson, née Brennan, 10, Minashesh Place, Strabane, and formerly of Cork Cullion, Castle Finn, reposing at her home from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Bill Meehan, 201 Town Parks Convoy. His remains are reposing at his home today until after rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. going to St Mary's Church Convoy for 11 a.m. funeral mass, followed by burial in the old graveyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.